for women. Listen to Mrs. Wade speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking just for women.
It's not the chicken blood, the candles, and the incense that got Martiza Tamako fired from her job as principal of New York City's Unity Center for Urban Technologies. It was Tamayo's forced teachers. It was that she forced teachers to participate in a voodoo-like ritual to cleanse the school from negative energy during the 2006 winter break. An investigator with the city's schools made his judgment. August 8th, several months after Tamayo hired a Santeria priestess to perform a chicken blood ceremony in the school and coax teachers to help pay for it. Now, this is from August 07 World Magazine. So evidently she wanted to cleanse the school of bad vibes. And excuse me for butchering her name, but the whole thing is she was practicing this terrible ritual with a Santeria priestess. I've heard about all this kind of thing, that, like in Haiti and all those islands. And then, of course, when people come to our country, they do some of these same things. Halloween is the devil's birthday. And if you would like to have this track that Dr. Waite, my husband, wrote several years ago, and thousands of people have it, just call us 1-800-JOHN-10-9 and ask for the Halloween track, or else write to us at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey, 08108. So here I am talking to you now about Harry Potter. And the author, J.K. Rowling, she's saying goodbye to Harry Potter with echoes of Tolkien and Lewis and Star Wars. This is an article written by someone, Susan Olansky, and I'll just skim it through for you. With the publication of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, J.K. Rowling concluded her seven-book series that set publishing records, made her one of the richest people in the world, number 891 on the Forbes 2007 billionaire list, and made millions of children avid readers. I remember when I first saw her on television, she just looked like a poor little girl that lived in Camden. And I listened to this about Harry Potter on some talk show, and I told my husband, you better become real acquainted with this, because I think this book is really going to take off. And even though this woman who wrote it didn't look like much of anything at the time, her book was going places. And sure enough, probably the very next Thursday night at our Bible studies, someone asked about this. Well, Mrs. Rowlands, Miss Rowlings, J.K. Rowlands, looks very fashionable now. She's very wealthy, and her vivid satanic imagination has gotten her far with her pen and paper. She first wrote all this on a brown paper bag. Now, this Deathly Hallows, this latest book, I think is a disappointment to some people, as it's very wordy, very long, very detailed. And I read in some of these articles, I have not read the book, but I read in some of the articles that older people and older young people perhaps can keep up with it, but younger children need a lot of explaining. And as I was going over this for you, and it's taken me a while, and I'll tell you truthfully, I really felt an oppression trying to study all these things for you. And I had to go in the other room and just rest a while and pray and ask God to give me courage to carry this on. I looked up what Hallows means, H-A-L-L-O-W, because it's called Death and Harry Potter and the Deadly Hallows. Well, Hallows, it meant to make holy, to consecrate. And one of the synonyms was to dedicate. So I don't really understand at all, even after I looked it up. Harry Potter series forms a ship that children are climbing aboard with a destination only known to the captain, who has a very different world view. Now, the captain, I think, really is Satan. And I told you about this young man that I told you last time that I met at a fast food store, who said he was into this spiritism, this Wiccan. And I imagine it's because of Harry Potter's book's influences. As Rowling wrote further into the series, and as the books began to focus on the inevitable clash between Voldemort and Harry, some elements of the earlier book gave way to a new, I've got to get this paper clip out of the way, to a new emphasis. Gone the day-to-day activity of Hogwarts School, along with Harry's muggle relatives and his snarky attitude toward them. Now, this last book also left behind some of the most obnoxious aspects of the earlier books. Now, I did read the first book, and I started into the second, but I just couldn't spend all my life reading these books. In Hallows, and remember, that means dedication, consecration, holy, and I just think it's a terrible play on words. In the Lord's Prayer we say, hallowed be thy name, but not don't mix that up with this satanic influence. But this last book also left behind some of the most obnoxious. I read that. In Hallows, Voldemort's unchecked power threatens both the muggle and the wizard worlds. Imitating the Nazis, he has set up a racialist regime and requires mudblods, B-L-O-O-D-S, those of mixed muggle and wizard ancestry, bloods, that is, I'm sorry, to register and be rounded up. And then as the fascist gloom descends, Harry and his friends continue on their lonely, often clueless quest for these seven objects which Voldemort has put part of his soul, where part of his soul are in, often lured into traps. The good guys more than once barely escape this terrible witch's clutches. Some of this is reminiscent of The Lord of the Rings, or The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. All kinds of creatures using all kinds of spells fight it out as the armies of Voldemort and Dumbledore are concluding their grand action. Harry faces Voldemort one-on-one. Now, this is a 759-page book with pages of explanation as the author tries to wrestle meanings into the series. So I take it from the very things that I've read that this book is a little bit more confusing to follow. And parents who are reading this book aloud will have to do some quick paraphrasing. So as in Star Wars, you have to search for a spiritual meaning in this Hallows book. Why did Rowling quote the Bible on two gravestones? I don't know. That's what this reviewer asked the question. So, one of Potter fans, quoted by the Associated Press, mourned the end of the series. That's it, she said. It's all over. I feel like I just got said goodbye to my oldest, dearest friend. All I can do is to reread, and in the future, when I have children, I'll get to share these books with them. I wonder how many of these present readers of Harry Potter will be like my friend that I met at the fast food store, will be into Wiccan. Now, I have so many things I don't know what to do first here, but the meaning, remember Egypt had all these gods? Remember all those plagues? Those were like gods, and magicians brought these plagues up, and Egypt is full of idols and full of plagues. And I was reading here in Unger's dictionary some forbidden things. Just terrible. I just became very perplexed over reading all this. And once again, I could tell why I was so much against these books by Harry Potter. I, to be truthful, was starting to weaken with all the publicity that I heard. But after the captivity, you know, we're talking about the Jews, it is probable that the Jews gradually abandoned the practice of magic. So they did a lot of magic. I just do not understand how a country, a group of people that God chose and did so much for could revert back to what they'd learned in Egypt and gone into all that. I'll read this. And so they abandoned the practice of magic. Zechariah speaks indeed of the deceit of teraphim and diviners in Zechariah 10:2, and foretells a time when the very name of idols should be forgotten and false prophets should have virtually ceased. Well, won't that be great? Yet in neither case does it seem certain that he is alluding to the usage of in his own day. In the Apocrypha, we find indications that the latter centuries preceded the Christians. Era magic was no longer practiced by educated Jews. So there was so much magic. Oh, remember Balaam? Remember when the cup was found in the young brothers, Benjamin sack? They said it was what Joseph used for divining. But it was not necessarily that he used it for divining, but it was a cup that someone might have used for divining. In Nebuchadnezzar's day, there's a count of divining by teraphim in the records there in Ezekiel 21:19-22. It just goes on and on. We see Joseph and Moses and the magicians. I just wish I could read this whole Unger's Dictionary to you so that you could become horrified as I was. We read in the New Testament about Simon, and remember he was a sorcerer in Elymas, a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet, was struck blind for a time at the word of Paul, and Jewish believers abandoned their practice there in Ephesus, the practice of magical arts. We also have the remarkable case of Paul casting out the spirit of divination from a slave girl who was bringing her master much profit by forth-telling. Oh, you and I, if you're a Christian, you would just have to take your stand against this magic that's in the land. We just have to take our stand against this. It's something that you must learn to do. I want to read here about in Ephesians, if I haven't lost my place, about how we should forsake all these things. I can't come up with it right away now. I had it here. But anyways, I just want to say that there shall not be found among you anyone who makes his sons or his daughters pass through the fire, one who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, who interprets omens, or a sorcerer. That magic was just forbidden, just absolutely forbidden for the children of Israel. So I'm reading again. There's demon-inspired paganism that's all an abomination to the Lord. Now, there's various forms of magic and magicians and sorcery that we should have nothing to do with. We must help us, Lord, dear help us, dear Father in heaven, to keep our lives cleansed from witchcraft and sorcerers, and help us to stand true to thy word, in Jesus' name.
You're listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Email bft@bibleforToday.org. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us next week, same time, same station, to hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women.